Let's just lift it up to God in prayer while you stand there for just a moment. We just sang, "Hear Us from Heaven." And so as we've sang that, I mean, how many of y'all believe that? Or are y'all just singing it because they had a cool groove? And then, hear us from heaven. And then hear us from us. May we hear heaven. And when we hear it, may we do what it says. May we do what it says. That's where it gets tough. May we do what? What it says. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are greater than we are. Your love is beyond sometimes even our mere comprehension. And so, Lord, today, may these attitudes, Lord, may they not just be some code that we hear that you spoke a long time ago, but make them the way of life in our lives. Make it real. Lord, I thank you for all the beautiful people you brought today. Lord, I thank you for the folks that are here for the first time. Lord, I pray that they can just hear what you got to say and that they can absorb who you are. And so, Lord, may we just hear your truth and be patient with that truth. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thanks for being here today. How many of y'all glad are you here today, man? God's got something to say to you today. All right. Well, I hope that you're getting this because you've already got this. So it's kind of weird, okay? I'm not asking you to embrace a teaching. I'm asking you to realize the Jesus that is in you. It's a little different, isn't it? And you're not having to learn anything new, but you're having to release what is in you. Is this making sense? Now, follow me. We don't go get Jesus. Jesus comes into us. Isn't that true? We don't go get Christ. God doesn't come and save us because we jump up and down and look real pretty and do some cool things. Jesus saves us because Jesus saves. And his spirit draws us to what? Understanding. His spirit forgives us. His spirit remakes us. Who's in charge, Bobby? Jesus. And then he gives us these attitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? We got to realize everybody's poor spirit. Who changes our spirit? Come on, quick review today. Who changes the spirit? Good. We ought to be sorrowful. Blessed are those who mourn. How many of you all eventually come to a point, you know what? I got tired of being sorry. How many of y'all gotten tired of being sorry? And man, I want to change. Real change happens when we mourn. If you think about it, we don't change till we get down to what? Now I'm going to mourn. When did most of you husbands straighten up? I knew. Well, I tell you, when I straightened up, when Elizabeth looked at me and she said, "I'm fixing to walk." Then I mourned. So I wanted to get away with it until I had a consequence. When I got a consequence, then guess what? "I'm sorry, honey, I'm sorry. I'll straighten up. I'll be back." Mourn. And guess what it says? Blessed are those who mourn. They will be comforted, man. We got to be sorry for where we are. And so guess what? If you're here today and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, I want you to know that Jesus has an answer to your sick and tired. And he's going to heal your heart and make you new. And then he said, guess what? He said, get an attitude. Blessed are the meek. Be teachable. Don't know everything. How many of y'all know everything? Don't be presumptuous. You can't know everything. But guess what? And also do this. Own it. Own it. We all make mistakes. Own it. We've all done some things wrong. What? Own it. How many of you all hear more excuses today than you do, "I was wrong"? Sometimes we just mess up. "I'm wrong." That changes the way we relate. That's meek. Guess what? Your spirit's got to be changed. You got to be mournful and you got to be comforted and you got to be open to quit saying it's somebody else's fault. Say, "Here's where I'm at fault, but God's going to make me new in that." All right. And then we talked about blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be what? Filled. So I would take that literally. If you're going, "Man, I got a boring life. I got an empty life. I'm missing something in my life." Well, then what are you seeking? Most people I know that have an empty life or claim to have a boring life, or they don't know what it is they're missing. Most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, they're focused on money and collections of goods. And that'll give you a full garage, but not a full life. It'll give you a full closet, but not a full life. You see what I'm saying? It's the American nightmare. They lied. He or she who has the most stuff doesn't win. They just have a lot of stuff to give to people after they're dead. Doesn't mean you have a full life. Because who gives full life? Jesus. You got it, Leonard. Jesus. I can't get a full life on my own. I got to receive one from Christ. Well, today we do something really cool. How many of you have a pure heart? Pretty good at this service. Anybody here got a pure heart? Let me rephrase the question. How many of y'all have a pure heart on your own? Now, how many of you have been given a pure heart?
Yes, Lord.
Ah, that's different, isn't it? You've been given a pure heart. Here's what the Bible says. Blessed are the pure in heart. They will see who? There's a promise to that. They will see who? If you want to see God, then what's got to be changed, Adam? Heart. So, Evan, are you going to see God on your own? No, me and you can talk to each other. We went to school together. Neither one of us had a pure heart on our own, did we? Now, we got a better heart when we got into Jesus. This is making sense? But on my own, my heart is tainted. What about yours? I'll even do good stuff, but it'll have a taint of selfishness to it. Huh? How many of y'all do good stuff and you want to make sure somebody knows about it? Yeah, well, it's kind of like this. You know, my lovely wife, Elizabeth, she cleans up the house, and guess what? I thank her. I said, man, that's nice you clean up the house. But if I clean up the house, I want an award presentation. If I clean up the house, I mean, I'm like, what about them floors, honey? Lord have mercy. I mean, Mop and Glow didn't do that. I did that. See what I'm saying? I'm wanting a presentation. Why? Well, I've done a good thing, but have I done that out of a pure heart? See, what I'm trying to say, Ashton, is this. Now, you be careful. I know you're dating Boobin. He's a nice guy, got a cool beard, but he ain't got a pure heart naturally. And by the way, guess what? You don't either. Elizabeth, now, she'll smile and be nice and polite to you. She ain't got no pure heart either. I've seen her do things to me with other motives. Like, you know, you want to go to Bass Pro Shop and we end up at the Green Hills Mall. Now, how did that happen? See what I'm saying? Oh, it's happened to you too, huh? Yeah, I'd like to go watch that game. It's right beside such and such. That's what I'm trying to tell you. But guess what the Bible says? Blessed. Blessed, that means involved with God. That means full life. That means living abundant are the people with a pure heart, for they will see who? God. Now, here's what I want you to know. Augustine said this. We're all born. We're all tainted by sin. So our heart is not pure. Now, Augustine said this, though. He said, some of us aren't tainted as much. He said, we all got it, and there's some that have more of it than not. But we all have a heart that needs to be cleansed. So if you don't mind, if you just tell your neighbor, mine needs cleaning. Mine needs cleaning. Mine needs cleaning. Go ahead and tell them, mine needs cleaning. Come on, y'all are awful soft about this today. Mine needs cleaning. Now, I'm going to talk about three things that you need to understand when you get to purity. Most of us see a pure heart as somebody that glows and beams and is polite. Would you say that's a general, oh, they're so sweet? Well, you know what? There's a lot of sweet people going to hell. It didn't say blessed are sweet people, for they'll see God. It said blessed are pure people. And sweet's not always pure. There's a lot of additives in sweet. Pure is 100% God's agenda. That can only be achieved if you allow Jesus into your life. Now, I want you to hear clearly, only Jesus can clean your heart. And we all got a heart problem. At the heart of it. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will see God. Well, now think about this. If Jesus comes into your life, who are you starting to see? Come on. God, when you see Jesus, you see who? And this is what got people all ticked off, didn't it? Remember, especially in the Gospel of John, the Pharisees, they said, well, who are you? And Jesus goes, well, when you see me, you see the Father. The Father and I are one. Ah! And these religious dudes, they broke into kung fu fighting because guess what? Jesus didn't look like the God they wanted him to look like. Because Jesus did like weird, pure stuff, like he hung out with lepers and welcomed women and brought people in from other races that they didn't think were supposed to be brought in. And God did all kinds of things they didn't want to do. Because God's pure and we're tainted. We're always tainted. We always have that struggle. Remember in Macbeth, we always have that problem, that famous line, out damn spot out. And it won't come out. Why? Because we can't clean it. How many of y'all have all done something you've regretted? How many of y'all, everybody here done something they regretted? If not, not raising your hand ought to qualify, so we're all in the same boat. And when we do, here, let me show you how general it is. Come on, be honest with me on this. How many of y'all have ever told a lie before? Good. If you don't have your hand up, you just joined us. But I mean, we've all told a lie. Larry, you've told a lie before? I mean, this was way back, though. 4 years following Jesus, right? All right, Mr. Marriage, Mr. and Ms. Marriage class, I'm going to put you on the spot. Coach, you can take it now, all right? Larry, you ever told a lie to Emily to get your way as her husband? Thank you. I can tell you teach marriage class now. You know, I've told Elizabeth some untruths to hedge things to my advantage. You girls ever dated a guy that's done that? Y'all, I can see you've dated more than one that did that, because that was a pretty powerful head nod. Yeah, it happens. But you know why it happens? Because we're human beings and we got to be cleansed. So here, listen, guys, I want you to get your heads up and allow Jesus to clean your hearts. That makes sense? Obviously, today, if you don't have a relationship with Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to call on you to let God, Jesus himself, clean your heart, because that's the way it's going to get changed. Now, I know it's political season, and listen, I don't want you all to get so crazy about this stuff. Let me tell you the truth, all right? Neither candidate we have is Jesus. Even if one of them makes the promises of Jesus, you find out they're not Jesus. If a candidate thinks he's Jesus, I got a test. We ought to shoot him on Friday, and if he's talking Sunday morning, he qualifies. Not seen any of them do that yet. Have you, Billy? I ain't seen anybody do that yet. Bobby, have you? I mean, I hear a lot of them make promises, and watch this. One of the things that I have to remember when I hear all these political promises, I know they're not going to be true because pure hearts aren't making them. So you have to have a pure heart to be a pure promise. Am I tracking John Paul? Isn't that right? And I only know one guy, Betty Lois, with a pure heart. Now, David's good, but not all the way. Clay, he's all right, but he ain't all the way. But in Jesus, he is. Hold on, Clay. In Jesus, you are. I want to give you three things that happens to you when your heart gets pure. Okay? A pure heart begins to walk away from selfish motives. So the first thing happens when God creates a pure heart in you. You don't think about yourself as much as you used to. I'm not saying it's all going to go away at once, but you got some power over it. How many of you all have noticed that in your journey of faith with Jesus? How many of you all, I'm not saying you're a master at it yet, but especially when I come over here to the young crew, guess what? One of these days y'all are going to get married. It's going to happen. It happens to people. A lot of people have done it. Guess what? And you've heard people say, well, I tell you what, our first year of marriage was a disaster. How many of y'all have ever heard that before? Why do people say that? The first year is hard for one reason. Not everybody gets to have somebody like Elizabeth did that's so easy to be married to. Here's why it's hard. What's the greatest problem we struggle with? We're selfish. If the Lord would give me the privilege to say I could get a wand, I had a cool wand, you know, like a wand, you know, like magic people have a wand, you know, like in fairy tales, a wand. He said, all right, Harris, I'm going to give you the wand. You get to wand out one sin in the world and it's gone. Guess which one I'd take out? Selfishness. Because if I took selfishness out, I'll take all the others out. What's this? I balance the budget if selfishness is gone. Because $16 trillion is caused by selfishness. You know why you spend more money than you make? Anybody knows that? Anybody know why you do that? Huh? Yeah. I did that. Please, some of y'all don't do this. Some of y'all just got married. Don't do this. Do not do this. Do not call people on the phone that sell stuff and use your credit card number a lot. Because they bill you later. Now, I grew up kind of old-fashioned. It was a crazy time of era. It was ancient time. There were big cell phones back then, this big. Back when I grew up and started out, the bigger your cell phone, the cooler you were. Now, in the 90s, they reversed that. The smaller your cell phone, the cooler you were. But back then, if you had a big brick, I mean, this thing, you'd call the moon. It had service on it. You did not lose service. You're about that big, and you had a weapon with you at all times. If anybody tried to mug you, you could knock them out with your cell phone. I mean, that'd be out cold. Big old brick cell phone. Back of weird times, students, I'm going to blow you away. Back when I went to school, we didn't have student loans. It's crazy. Guess what we had? Jobs. It's the most crazy thing you ever seen in your life. You would have to go to school and work for 7 or 8 hours instead of play Xbox. It's a crazy time back then. It's crazy. Why? We didn't know, and we didn't think somebody owed us something. Because we weren't told we were owed something. I never heard that. Guess what I heard? The opposite. When I came in the world, guess what I kept hearing over and over again? Klein, I bet you heard the same thing. Especially from my dad. And nobody owes you nothing. You don't deserve anything. And you're going to have to work hard if you get anything. Now, hold on. That's old school. Now what do we hear? You precious. You wonderful. You beautiful. You everything. What have you done? Nothing, but you need something. Now, I can gripe about that. Or I can at least point out an observation. It's not working. Because it's not pure. And for purity to be in action, truth has to be exposed. And here's the truth. Without Christ, I'm a very manipulative creature. What about you? Without Christ, I'm a Burger King kind of person. I want it my way. And I'm going to do the best to have it my way. So the first thing purity does is take out selfishness. Wouldn't you agree? Because selfishness, what does selfishness do? Destroys. It seeks to what? Destroy. Yeah. This develops in relationship. One of the reasons we struggle in marriage is that's the relationship that is the toughest because it's two selfish people clashing against each other. Yeah? Amen. We got male selfishness and female selfishness, and it comes in different forms, doesn't it? But we're all selfish. Even some of you little sweet people, y'all are nasty selfish. You're even worse. Because you smile as you get the knife out. Right. At least I go, by gosh, I got a knife. But y'all go, here, let me help you with that. Right? It's called passive aggressive. But we think we get a pass because it's passive. Selfishness comes out. Number two, as purity comes into your life, you will think more about others than you do about your own experience. See, the reason we can't correct our national problems, which is going to cause us a great detriment later in life, we can't see the good of everybody. See, people don't vote for what's good for everybody. They vote now for what they want. Let me help you. If you ain't got a job, you don't need a free cell phone. I'm serious. We've lost our everlasting minds. But we'll have people vote on the basis of the free stuff that they're going to what? Get. Hold on, let me tell you where they're messed up. What's the problem with free stuff? There is no free stuff! Y'all get that? Do you think a car dealer is really selling you a car for 5 years with no interest? but it sounds like something we want to believe. See, purity doesn't tell us what we want to hear. It tells us what we need to hear. And that's why people didn't like Jesus. He didn't tell them what they wanted to hear. He told them the song we just heard. May I hear from where? Heaven, man. And when it didn't agree with earth, people get mad. Here's the third thing that happens in purity. It exposes Jesus versus ourselves. It exposes Jesus versus what? Ourselves. That's purity. Did y'all get those three things? Y'all got them? It eliminates selfishness. It draws and causes us to have a concern for others. And it does what? It exposes what? Jesus. Now I want to tell you, go to Hebrews with me. Go to Hebrews 10 verse 19. We can be made pure in Christ. Everybody listen. By the way, I'll be like a pilot today. By the way, we're now approaching the runway to land here at the altar in approximately 5 minutes. Pay attention, please. You don't have to buckle up because I want you to be able to get up and come forward, okay? Christ is the source of purity. I'm not, you're not, we're not. I'm not, you're not, we're not. People cannot create purity. Make sense? Here's what I tell you at Hillview. Here's my political sermon. Go vote. Go vote. If you live in the United States of America and you don't vote, that's very, very bad. Because you had people in your family died so you could go vote. You go vote. Even if you vote for the wrong person, go vote. You go, who's the wrong person? Whoever. I believe I always vote for the wrong person. I've never voted for a perfect candidate. But I've had a perfect Savior save me. That's the only thing that's perfect. Amen? So please don't get so out of whack when political people act human. Guess what they're being? What they are. Human. We can't do forever. Only Jesus. Make sense? Now, so where are we going to get pure? In Christ. Where are we going to get provided for?
In Christ.
What's really going to change us, sister? Christ. Christ. In fact, watch this. I'm going to blow y'all away. I trust Jesus to protect the environment. Jeepers. I figured if he makes it, he can secure it. What do you think? Yeah. He said, well, Pastor Steve, I have a problem with that. I've seen hurricanes and people die. Why does God allow that? Do you think God told us to build cities below sea level? Or did we come up with that on our own? Lenny, I don't know. You're from there. Or did God say, hey, gee, I think I'd like to live in a city with a lake above my head. That sounds like a good idea. Come on, we do stuff. And then we get mad when what? I get mad at police officers for pulling me over going 85 miles an hour. About got in trouble one day. Guy pulled me over in Tennessee. It's early in the morning. And I said, officer, with all due respect, is this the most important thing you got to do at 5:30 in the morning? It's to pull me over going 85 miles an hour when there's somebody over there mixing meth right now. He said, yeah, but I don't see them and I saw you. Then I got a few extra dollars added for my wonderful comments. See what I'm saying? If I wasn't going 85 miles an hour, would he pulled me over? See, this is if we don't have a pure heart, we won't own up to what we've done. When we own it, Jesus will forgive it. Look at what happens. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence, what should we have as followers of Jesus Christ? Confidence in Christ. Guess what he'll do? To enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us, through the curtain that his body, whose body? His body. Who sets us free? Jesus. Who makes us pure? Jesus. Believe in him. Now look at his confidence. Next scripture. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near. With what? A sincere heart. And with full what? Assurance. That faith brings. Absolutely. Go ahead. You with me, girl? Hey, listen. I'd rather have you in than asleep. You know what I'm talking about? Full assurance. That faith brings. Having our hearts sprinkled. to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure what? Water. We'll take you back to a radical time when young people used to work. I used to be on the farm. Some of y'all remember this. Some of you young boys, I wish you could have had this experience. In fact, I think we ought to get a field just for young people to have this experience. I think it helps us develop. It's called a square bale. And I'm going to give you an understanding of purity. Jonathan, did they have those up north of the Mason-Dixon line? They did back then, didn't they? You've seen some of those, didn't you? Square balers. New Holland. That's up north. Square baler. He had this big pick. And if you stood behind the baler, you grab a bale. You send it back to your next buddy. Boom. He stacks it up on a wagon. Now back then, we didn't quit at 105 heat index. We didn't know there was a heat index. We just called it, there was hot, really hot. I'm not going to give you the other level of hot, but it was even worse than that. Hotter than, okay? Those were the three temperatures we had in the summer. Hot, really hot, and hotter than. Is that cool? Well, man, we'd get up there, and we'd have hay sin all over us. You haul hay all day, you get up in the barn, put it up in the barn, and it's like you have like alfalfa all over you and fescue all over you and seeds all over you and dirt dust all over you and hay from the years past that has blown on you. And you kind of look like he's working in a coal mine by the time you got done. Because you'd be hot, you'd sweat, and you'd get your eyes be sticking out like this where your sunglasses were. Well, we'd go to football practice after this. I know that's unbelievable that you could actually work and practice all in the same day. But back then, things were crazy. Heat index, we didn't know what happened. So we'd come down to the field house, and Coach Joe Hood would look at us as we got out of cars and trucks, and we'd stand there and get ready to walk in the field house. He'd go, you're not coming in here with all this dirt. So we'd put our gym shorts on. And man, back then, back in the 80s, man, we had some gym shorts. Things were cool looking. We had shorts, man, right here, shorts. We had, shorts, cool-looking shorts. We had our shorts right here, and then we had tube socks with multicolored stripes on. That's when life was kicking. Yeah. We had Chuck Taylors because that's all we could afford. All-Stars. You had your school's color on them. Purple and white was mine. Had purple and white hay all over me. Now, you didn't have your Chuck Taylors on when you was hauling hay. You had on a pair of Red Wing work boots. And ours were scuffed up, not from the store, but from actually working with them. We had holy jeans back then, but you didn't buy them at the buckle. You had them because hay bales had wore them out, scraping them. Yeah. Watch this. We work so little, we have to create jeans that look like they've been worked in. Crazy. When we'd stand there, this scripture always reminds me of this. I remember standing there with my buddies. We had hay dirt all over us. Dirty, sinful. Coach, get that hose out. Now, y'all don't drink all that bottled water you want to. You think that's the best water. Well, Aquafina, you know, Dante slash, you know, rat. Best water ever happened in the world comes out of water hose. Best water you ever tasted in the summer. Now, you need to let it go for, because if you just hit it right off a bat, you get a spider in there. But once the spiders are cleared out of it, it's the kind of water we drank, spider flavor. I mean, we drank and stuff, didn't get any diseases or nothing, man. We didn't have to have any purification process. I don't know how culture ever lived. And, man, he'd hit us with that cold water and that hay dust just come off you. And I'm talking, you were being saved right there, just boom. Made pure. I want you to know that's what Jesus wants to do to every one of us. And some of us have forgotten and we've been cleansed. Another experience that really draws the purity of God to me is when Elizabeth and I and the kids, when I had little kids, I don't have little kids anymore, but I had little kids, man. We were cheap, and so when we'd camp out at the lake, I didn't want you to go get them showers and stuff. You had to pay money for that. We get us a bar of Ivory soap. I love Ivory soap. Just soap. Soap. It's like our house, man, my wife, I don't know what she buys. I don't know where she gets this stuff. Like shampoo, fruitcake flavor. I don't know fruitcake flavor shampoo. I mean, it's always, you smell like a biscuit with jelly when you come out of shower. And finally, I just told her, I said, honey, I'm tired of all this fruit stuff in the shower. You can put it on you, but I don't want it on me. I smell like a biscuit. I said, I'm scared some dog going to eat me on the way out to work. It's like crazy. And so I said, I want some soap. She finally got me something. She says, man. I looked at her and said, what does it smell like? She says, smell like a man. I said, my kind of soap. Man soap. Well, you smell like man. Just clean. I don't smell strawberry, raspberry, peach infusion. I don't need all that. Now, you ladies, listen. I won't smell your hair and it needs to smell like a strawberry basket. That's fine. Ivory. You know why I like ivory? Guess what flavor it is? Soap. It's what smell it is. Soap. So the kids, Elizabeth wouldn't do this much, but the kids, we get the kids, and I soap them up with ivory. We get in the lake, and man, we would soap up, I mean, totally covered head to toe, just totally plastered with soap. We call it a lake bath. Then we get on the back of a little boat, and I stay on the platform. I said, on three, we're going to jump, and the Lord going to clean us in the lake. It's kind of like that story, you know, the guy that had leprosy that washed in the Jordan. We're in the muddy waters. I mean, the waters are muddy, the Barren River, it's muddy. But we'd jump in, and that ivory soap would come off of you, and you could feel the day just leave. And when you got back up on the boat, man, you were clean. And Elizabeth looking at us going, you crazy. She wasn't a believer. She didn't believe in ivory like we did. I want you to know that's exactly the way you get a pure heart. Lord Jesus, here I am. Dirty, mistaken, disappointments, guilt, shame, scars, bad history. And you know what Jesus says? My blood will hose all that away. Whew. He said, let me soap you up with my grace. Let me scrub what you think will not come out. Let me love you like you've never been loved. And then let me lift you out. Lift you out. Like you've never been lifted before. That's the way you say, blessed are those with a pure heart, for they will see God. Now, I got good news today. Guess who can have that? It's why I preach. Anybody. I'll fight you over whosoever. Now, I can be pretty reasonable on a lot of things, but I'll fight you over whosoever. If some of y'all believe just certain type of folk can be saved, I say you need to get a bigger God. Because you know what my God said? Any sin, anybody, anywhere can be made new by the grace of God. How many of y'all rejoice that that's the way God actually works? Well, if you believe it, stand up. We're going to have a moment. Stand up. We're ready to go. Told y'all. You ready? Did you hear them wheels land, Sean? You love that, don't you? So when you put Sean in an airplane, he prays the whole time. That's why I like flying with you, Sean. I said, listen, airplanes, there's another place people don't use their brains. A margarine cup falls out. You're 38,000 feet in the air. Put this on. You know what happens if you don't put that on? You lose cabin pressure. You pass out. Why do you want to see what's coming eventually anyway? I'm like, Lord, I'm going to be passed out and step into heaven. Yeah. So people are scared of dying that don't have a what? Pure heart. Here's all I can tell Jesus. If you've cleaned me up, Lord, like you said you were going to, then I can come in there with you. And if you didn't, I'm in big trouble. And I told you that in the get-go. Be honest with God. Pure heart people are honest. Some of y'all need to get honest today. Some of y'all need to be saved today. If I could jump up, if I could, I can't do this, but if I could stand on my head, I can't do that, and gargle peanut butter, and that would make you understand the grace of God, I'd gargle it. Because I want you to know how wonderful it is. So listen, guys, balcony. Don't let it be a hindrance. It shouldn't be. Why don't you come down today and say, Lord, today I'm going to be cleansed by you. Think about that hose. Just all that nasty stuff coming off. How many of y'all got some nasty attitudes that just need to come out? Just get rid of them. Or do you want to do this? Well, I want to get with some other people with nasty attitudes and stay in a circle and let's talk about our nasty attitude. That's why it hadn't left in 30 years. You can't talk it out of there. You got to surrender to Christ. Where's David? Isn't that right? Isn't that the third step? The third step doesn't say, I have come to agree that I'm going to talk about my problem for the rest of my life and that will dissolve it. Or does the third step in the 12 steps said this, I'm powerless, he's not, and I'm going to surrender to him. Isn't that the third step? You know what this altar is? Third step. Lord, I've sinned against you. I believe you. I believe you'll clean me. I believe you'll give me a pure heart. Lord Jesus, come into me. Now, a lot of y'all are followers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Guess what? You need to say this. Lord, may I realize my clean heart. Amen. How many of y'all got a clean heart, but sometimes you get some dirty hands because you listen to what you're thinking instead of what Jesus is doing? Hello. That's why we got to confess constantly. That's what I love about my Catholic brothers and sisters. They teach us some good things if we listen to them. One of the things they teach us is we need to confess. Now, I'm not talking about we need to have a confession booth in the back of the church because I don't want to hear what y'all have done anyway. I'm just being honest. But hold on. And here's why. I say that with great love. I mean, I'll listen to you, but guess what? I can't change it. I don't get to hold the hose. But Jesus will right now. He'll get all that stuff off. I want some of y'all to throw some things out today. If you're following the Lord Jesus Christ, quit being guilty, quit being shameful, quit being downtrodden, because that spits at the work of grace. Quit being that way. Quit walking around with a world that you can't make it. You say, well, Pastor Ayers, what about the wrath of God? It's already on you. So my answer to all these wrath of God preachers is, what about the grace of God? That's the good news. The good news, I think the reason they get so delighted about preaching about the wrath of God, that's so easy to observe. That's the natural. The grace of God is supernatural. And we can't control it nor explain it. God's going to save somebody today, amen? I feel it in here, amen? God's going to draw somebody to grace today. Now, just observation and I'm done. Is it kind of amazing to you guys, kind of crazy, that as soon as Jesus mentions the blood that purifies us, he talks about the water? Things that make you go spiritually, huh? Why is baptism important? I think it's just a very, very experiential touch of how clean God's really made you. And then one day, in the midst of his glory, we'll finally know how clean we truly are. Nobody leave here without being clean today. For all have sinned, and God has said, whosoever be one of them. Amen. If you haven't been baptized, let's get that taken care of. So what about joining a church? I could care less about joining church. I care that Jesus Christ gets into your life, saves you from sin, that you baptize in the name of Jesus. And when he blows that trumpet, you'll be able to say this, Daddy, you home. Let's go home. Now, I hope you don't say this. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to go ahead and make a declaration today. Pastor Reynolds, on the day of judgment, I'm hurting somebody if they're from Hillview Heights Church. And they stand before the Lord and say, well, Lord, I'm a pretty good person. You ought to let me in. I'm going to look at Jesus and I'll say, I'll tell you what. They didn't get it. He'll go, I know, Ayers, you never said that. Because I'll never say that. None of us go to heaven because we're pretty good people. We enter the glory of heaven because he's a perfect, he's a sovereign, he's a forever loving, ever merciful, almighty Savior that says, by my name, through my blood, in my resurrection, by my power, you will be saved. I can trust that, man. Amen. I can trust Jesus. Amen. But let's pray. Lord, we're here in heaven. You've heard us. Lord, you got some cool people here today. And Lord, those that want to be saved, I just ask right now in the name of Jesus that Satan himself and all his little Mickey Mouse demons that try to confuse people in the name and by the power of Jesus will be shut down right now. And Lord, now people hear you clearly. Lord, whether we're 7 or 70, we need your grace. So Lord, those that you're drawing, those that can hear you clearly right now, come on, you know. If you've never been baptized and you claim to follow Jesus Christ, how can you claim him when you won't even do the first thing he asks you to do? He's claimed you, now be obedient. He's forgiven you, now be obedient. I know some of y'all don't like hearing that. You say, well, in my church, they're not that strong. Just listen to what you just told me. It takes a real God to get rid of real sin. Today, if you know Christ needs to come in your life, let him come in. Just forgive me. He'll answer that prayer. So how do you know it worked, Pastor Ayers? I said, I tell you what, you come and receive Jesus. I bet you won't give him back. And here's even better news. He won't give you back. He won't give you back. Real or not? Some of you need to come be baptized. Some of you need to be saved. Some of us need to realize the grace that's in us. Amen? Yeah. Be pure. He's made you that way. Be pure. He's what? Made you that way. You say, oh, Ayers, I don't feel that way. Tracy, did I ask anybody how they felt today? Nope. That's the most overrated empty life experience you can have. Live by your feelings and you'll find hell every day. Every day. And I got good news for you. The Bible never tells us one time in the Bible, not one time in the Bible, does the God made us tell us to make a decision by our feelings. In fact, it's the exact opposite. The truth has set you free. The truth has a name. Jesus. This altar's open. Now I want you to hear me. Right now in this country, I want you to know that today what I've preached, I would be shot dead right now in 51 other countries on this globe for what I told you today. So I'm thankful. Hey, brother, I'm thankful to get to preach that to you today. And I'm thankful for men and women that have served our military that made that possible. I'll always honor. But I want y'all to get to praying because you know what you think? You think, what? I hear some of you think right now. Well, Pastor Ayers, that'll never happen in America. Mm-hmm. It's what Greece said. It's what Rome said. It's what the great empire of France once said. Britain. Just right above me, my brothers and sisters in Canada. If I tell you what the Bible says up there, I'll be arrested for hate speech. We call it hate speech now because if God won't agree with us, he must be hateful. Because see, it's where we've lost our minds. We think we know more than God. Not. Come on, you need to be saved. I love you. I'm going to tell you the truth. You can get mad if you want to. I'd rather for you to be ticked now, coming to Christ, than I would like me and go to hell later. By the way, some of you all that got to be liked by everybody, that's overrated. You know what I found? People will bail on you faster than anything. I trust one thing. Jesus Christ, crucified, resurrected. I'll die on that. I already have. Church, the Lord's in this house. He's ministering to people. If you need to know him, don't put it off today. If you need to be baptized, don't put it off today. Make sense? Something's going on here at this altar right now. I just got to admit that, okay? Something's going on at this altar. This is a little bit different altar at 11 o'clock than it's been the last two altars. Well, guess what? At Hillview, we give God freedom to speak how he's going to speak because we speak to different kind of folk in different ways, okay? Listen, I just sense there's some guilt and shame in here. And I don't want you to walk out of here with it. Because you don't have to keep it. Make sense? I'm going to get real transparent. I'm an adopted child. I came into the world out of wedlock, I'm sure. You know what? My mama, birth mama somewhere, she don't need to walk in guilt and shame because you know what? God used his biology to do his work. So you better be very careful when you start pointing your finger at other human beings, telling them what God's going to do. I had a lady the other day, I was doing a wedding, and this real righteous lady came into me and she said, I'm going to tell you what, Pastor Ayers, my pastor wouldn't do a wedding that you're doing. The couple had a baby. Now they're willing to get married. God's working in their life. And I just looked at this woman, and I'm going to tell you, I was nice to her. But I said, honey, your pastor wouldn't have done Mary and Joseph's wedding. I said, the difference between me and your pastor, I've read the book, and he's read about the book. That's the difference. See, when I read the book, I didn't see a codified tablet born in Bethlehem. I didn't see God deliver the Baptist faith and message in the manger. I didn't see him deliver a set of laws and regulations. But I heard him. I've seen him. Heaven shook. The angels sung. The shepherds went. Because God came. So you come on, Lord, your spirit's in the house. It's the most important thing right now. God, whatever you're doing, do it. And may we be open to it. Those that need to be saved, may you come and be saved. Those that need to be baptized, may you come and be baptized. Those who just need to be touched and know that the Holy Spirit is moving in your life, may you be touched. May we minister now, God. May we do what you want in the name of Jesus. Come on, church. You coming because God's bringing you. Come on. Come on. It's open right now. Don't stand there today and see what God might do.